So what's existential shadow? You could say existential shadow is it's the wall that you can't penetrate, you can't medicate, you can't ameliorate, you can't make go away.
So like the personality that just always appears?
Well, I would say even the personality is somewhat superficial. You could say the personality is a cloak, you know?
Yeah. So you're saying the existential shadow is like real.
Is real?
Yeah. It's like a thing that's not moving.
Well, metaphorically, because what's real? We're looking at a texture of consciousness.
Yeah.
If I'm in my persona, soup sweet, and it looks like life is giving me the bare minimum to keep me enthused. The bare minimum to keep me enthused, or the bare minimum to get through the fucking day. That's a gift, in a manner of speaking. But what happens if, without notice, you're not getting the bare minimum? That's when you have an encounter with what we would call existential shadows.
That still is like a, I don't know, like you're like a more raw, like human personality type. It's like, you know, so you're just like fucking angry at everything.
It could be accompanied by anger. It could be accompanied by depression, paralysis, fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you go around like doing all these things to keep yourself entertained, so that doesn't come up.
Yes,
most people do.
I would say the human default strategy is sufficient entertainment to keep the existential shadow as far away from me as possible.
Just don't let the fucker catch up with you.
Yeah. And so we invent meaning, and we invent enthusiasm, we invent appointments, we invent sentimentalities, loyalties, lusts and loves of all kinds, to occupy, right, the space, to occupy the consciousness as a, you know, corporeal being, somehow the result of birth, hoping to keep whatever death might be as, you know, far away as possible. So it's a ruse.
Yeah, I get the basic concept. I just have never heard or, you know, really thought about, like, having some sort of existential shadow that's always there working.
Well, it's not a thing. So it's not like it's always there.
Like, there's a, like... It's some experience that's there,
yes,
as a possibility,
yes,
always, but, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, looking at a so-called transition or transmutation of consciousness, whatever it might be, just for fun, you know, we've heard of the dark night of the soul, so we're just using that same metaphor. Existential shadow, pain body, is just another metaphor for dark night of the soul, which is a crisis, in a manner of speaking, of self not getting the bare minimum to keep up the ruse. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we don't want to feel that necessarily. We don't like to feel it or seek it. But it doesn't give a fuck. As we go on a journey to consider the possibility of being untethered from even consciousness, to be freer than free. Not just to be free from or free of, but you could say a freedom that never had any one at all that could possibly have been encumbered. That freedom. Right? Otherwise, freedom becomes another accoutrement. I put that on my bookshelf, right? I wear the medallion, my meditation cushion. It looks like, fuck you, I'm heading to free. But that's an accoutrement. Then this goes perhaps a little deeper. becomes a little more vital. And the roots of persona, dwelling in the body, enjoying or suffering the imagination of continuity, that gig is up. Our reflex is to medicate, mitigate, explain, fight, bargain, just like the, what, seven stages of death? Deny, finally accept, right? Same, it's the same kind of, you know, whoa! You could say we come to a point, not that it's a point, a place, not that it's a place, it just happens to be this, here, now, those don't mean anything, where the habit of being distracted by the news has flatlined through no effort of your own, and you're being invited to deal. There's no strategy.
There's no deal. There's just, it feels like drilling teeth without any pain to it.
Yes, it can be extraordinarily raw.
And sometimes it lasts for a while and sometimes it passes quickly.
Yes.
And it never really makes any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's never really substance to it. I used to think there was. There's not.
No, there's no substance
to it. That's the deal. It's just this big, giant shitstorm of a story.
Yeah.
That comes in to trash my day occasionally.
That's right.
Or a piece of my day.
Yeah, you are not it, but you are what's the word? Nothing intended by that. But you are, as I am, a shitstorm of a story. That's it. This is a shitstorm of a story. As long as the story is being fed minimally, it doesn't mind persisting as a shitstorm of a story. If, for whatever reason or circumstance, the bare minimum is withheld, I don't want to touch that with a 10,000-foot pole. But that's what we have. I mean, that's the, you know, that if there's a membrane, and there's not, between the ruse and the not-ruse, it would be an encounter with existential shadow. And it's not a guarantee. It's not like this is the formula and everyone.
Your life up.
Yeah, it's not like this is real. It's just another metaphor for, you could say, whatever consciousness is or isn't, considering and taking on the opportunity to break out of its own cocoon. This is how it can land sometimes.
It kind of seems like it's like kind of throwing a fit or something. Like, I'm going to make it big. I'm going to make you new big.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It can. I mean, what comes to mind is the Witches of Eastwick or something.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson was, right?
He was great.
He, you know, showed up in a fancy car at a big house, and he became bigger than life and seduced all the three witches, right? The beautiful actresses that they were at the time. And if you might remember in the end, when they were successful at vanquishing him, he turned into this looming giant figure, right? He turned into a little tiny, like one of those things that you saw, slug, succubus on the window. He turned into nothing and whoop, disappeared. And that's what we're playing with. And because there's no actual space or actual time, there's only the apparent relativity of space-time, then something that has no substance at all can loom as large as a hurricane in your face. Ta-da. See, we still think, or you could say, we insist that we're at risk. We don't give it a lot of, you know, it's not showy. It's subtle. In the office, at the workplace, with the family, with whomever, we're like still quite convinced but subtly so, that we're at risk. As a biologic unit, right? As a person with feelings, sentiments, belongings, dignity, right? As the recipient of a profound accumulation of things that you don't want to let go of or have taken from you, you are at risk. And I don't have, no one need have any quarrel with that from the biologic point of view. You know, you got your money and your sneakers. If you got a girl or a guy, well, you know, it's more that you got. If you got kids, it's more that you got. If you got a house and a dental practice, investments, a house at the shore, it's more that you got. If you're 1%, you know, the offspring of the DuPont family, or you're the CEO of Northrop Grumman, it's more that you got.
How is it that something that's no more than a story, like that sort of mental ship's name, can cause such a feeling of that risk? I mean, it really is nothing, and yet it can puff itself up and convince you it's
yeah.
True.
It's really funny. From a scientific point of view, or from the point of view of, you know, something begats something, right? We can say there's a source, there's a tickle, there's causation, there's consequence. But there really is none. So it's a fair question to say, how does nothing at all portray with such looming fascination that I want to die or I really don't want to die? I don't fucking know. What? It just can. It can. It's animated. Right? It's a profusion of such profound animation and sensation that it can conjure, you know, liberated luminescence, and it can conjure, holy fuck, I can't go on.
I can't help but think about the sort of the all-inclusiveness of it.
Yeah.
Of it. Like, who says that's unacceptable, and then sort of the opposite when you're in a great spot is all that's acceptable.
Yeah. So what we might be seeking as some kind of freedom or amelioration or even enlightenment, if you dare use that term, is some cool shit needs to happen to me as fucking soon as possible. Right? It happened to Ramana Maharshi. Look at the look on his face. Right? What happened? So we can't help but think, as the products of individuation, that something neat, enviable, occurred to that person, to that person, to that person, and we want our fair shot, our fair share. Nothing occurred to them. No, the blitzkrieg of the imagination of person ended. That's not an accoutrement. Whatever this is or isn't persists in the way you could say it has always persisted, even though that's not saying much, because we don't know. But the fascination with the anthropomorphization of this as self inhabiting a body bookended by time, that fucking goes. That blitzkrieg is over.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm with you, from Missouri. You're a show me guy. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
No, I mean, I assume it's true, but...
No, it doesn't even matter. Thank you. I mean, it doesn't matter that it's true.
No, I mean, I assume that a person like Ramana Maharshi just hasn't, like, you know, isn't just lying or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, you want to give the sages the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. You know, I mean, fucking your Sagadatta wrote, I am that, right?
But I am not that.
Yes.
Like that.
Right. Okay. I am fat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not, I mean, it's nice to give the sages the benefit of the doubt and say, shh, man, whatever you're on, hook me up.
Yeah.
the first Southern California tour that Peter did, when the hell was that? I don't know, 2009 or something. We were at a loft in like East LA somewhere. It took a really long time to get there from Santa Monica or something. You're not wearing all of them. But he was doing his thing. And I just said that to him. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but whatever it is, hook me up. Yeah. This is liquidating. I mean, actively evaporating. It just keeps dropping out from, it just keeps dropping out from itself, but it can't ever depart from itself. But its nature is, right, a phantasmagoric refresh, which is simultaneous with a phantasmagoric evaporation, and that's all it is. But it suggests, it conjures durability. It suggests and conjures corporeality.
It's usually one of the most painful parts of when you're in a bad spot is, oh, this is going to last forever. Or it's going to come back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Future thing that makes it 10 times worse.
I love those panic attacks. They're really painful. I mean, they go right into your solar plexus and they just will not let go. And you're like, I am so dead. I'm just, my tears are flying out of my eyes. And I'm like, I get to this. Right. You know, you reach for anything. Because the panic is just too big, and it feels like it's going to last forever. Yeah, those are the good ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, some people have, right, you know, depressive tendencies, chemically or otherwise, where that panic does get that loud, and it does not abate. For long enough that, you know, a life is taken by their own hand. I mean, you can't tolerate that degree of panic for very long. Even if you're successfully medicated. And that happens. We grasp, or this grasps, by, you could say, its nature. It has a profound capacity for grasping, clinging, holding, naming, enumerating.
The thought has come, it's like I've taken this too freaking far.
Yeah.
No more judging it. Yeah,
yeah.
No more, like, night sky shit. Like, no, just set it all down
off.
And go back to what I know used to work.
Yeah, fine.
And yet, that's... It's kind of not possible.
It turns out it's not possible.
It can't back up.
Yeah.
I get a sense that would just
not work. No, it can't. It doesn't work. This is a one-way valve. This is a tenacious corpuscle. It only goes one way. Yeah, you can't back up and you can't get off the train.
I remember when I first started coming around to this, I would be like grumpy.
Yes.
And one thing I had an edge, I was like,
yeah.
Shit.
Grumpy's good.
Here again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's wild. Yeah. We think that, you know, we're going to be exercising volition and choice and enthusiasm and rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, you know, for the sake of some kind of liberated, you know, Tootsie Roll. No, that's not what's happening. What's happening is that the great turtle has invited you to your own dissolution so that you can see that your true nature is that of turtle scat. Yeah. And we will flip and fly and bargain and resist, again, because we presume that we are something, that something is happening, that it's happening to us, and that liberation or whatever the fruit of this madness is an accoutrement of self. So we do that. We flip around. We brace. We fight back. We get uber depressed or uber elated. You know, we can be a little bit bipolar as this, whatever this is, you know, releases itself from the fantasy of incarceration. All manner of curious symptoms can arise. That's why all the chatter, you know, from Adyashanti and others about so-called integration, right? I don't like all that chatter. Because you see what happens. When you start talking about integration, it acts as a solvent or a salve from what's really going on. Because once you start talking about integration, you're a person, you're on a journey, enlightenment has come your way, maybe you had an awakening, now you're trying to figure out how to fit it into your imaginary life. And so that just becomes another form of inebriation. It's not true, none of it's true. But you can reflect back on your crazy life and call it integration. I mean, if you're Adyashanti, you can do that. And everyone goes, oh, oh, oh.
I think they're talking about, like, not going back to, like, being a person. So, like, you oscillate. Like, oh, we're good. And then you're, like, trying to be a person. And you're like, no.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, this oscillates. Vacillates. Oscillates. Titillates.
Yeah.
Right. Such a mess. Yeah, it is. It's pretty much fucking with itself. Maybe I'm a person. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm Ramana Maharshi. Maybe I'm a peacock.
This doesn't make any sense to, like, be here, like, experiencing things, like. The whole entirety of it's like, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's good. What the heck? What the fuck? That experiencing is so? Give me a break. Who conjured that? The Big Bang? Hard, 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 hard. I don't think so. It's as if this, you know, uninvited force, right, of experience is just upon you. Consciousness does not come about by virtue of the body of birth.
So what to do, what to do?
Yeah, do everything, do nothing, make 1,000 lists, check everything off even though you haven't done anything. But, you know, yeah. Writhing is good. Warm bath, fine. Antidepressant medication, line me up. Yeah. It's all good. The quest for security, the quest for certainty, the quest for destination, for enlightenment as an accoutrement of self, has to run its course. Because there's so, you could say there's so much subtle belief, subtle bracing, subtle fixation that we're not necessarily conscious of. And that so-called inventory is present in whatever the hell the psyche is, and it's nothing at all. But so this has to run its course. In a sense, it exhausts itself. Right? The habit of self exhausts itself. And sometimes, you know, a dark night of the soul, a big kaboosh, is part of that, you know, part of that process. Elation, ecstasy, dark night of the soul, existential shadow. Repeat. Repeat. Fuck. Leave me the fuck alone. Not on your life. Right? It won't. It will not leave you alone. the genesis, if there is one, of what we can refer to as individuation is on autopilot. We can't be held responsible for the myth or certainty of individuation, and therefore the suffering that accompanies it. You didn't sign up to be an idiot, right? No one came to you pre-conception and said, hey, would you like another run at this shit? Before your parents make love, hopefully in a loving way, and you end up, you know, going cellular, we're going to ask you a question. Are you in for the myth of individuation?
It's the apple challenging ambitions. I didn't read it.
Yeah. I see you didn't read it. You didn't read the fine print. You're about to be born and it's going to suck. Too late. But no, Mr. Wizard, no, it's too late. Boom. Down the chute. By the time you're 18 months or 20 months old, your God mind has become polluted by self through the natural profundity of name and form. Okay.
So it's automatically like.
Yes.
Feel some hunger, you cry, get food.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is how I navigate and make these things go away.
Yeah. You start to associate, I guess unconsciously or semi-consciously, whatever an infant does, that certain behavioral outcries might result in a satisfactory satisfier. Like nipple, or food, or dog, or a roll of toilet paper, or dry behind, right? And so we're learning, you could say, the patterns of the appearance of cause and effect. Yeah, it's like object permanence. It's not there, apparently, when, you know, the infant is still quite young. Object permanence kicks in a little later. And object permanence, of course, is applied to self.
This is real?
You're permanent. Yeah. If that chair is permanent when I leave the room, because I can come back tomorrow and find it, then so must I be. Object permanence has no discrimination between animate and inanimate objects.
Well, it makes what your mind creates real. In a pretty simple way.
Okay.
That image.
Yes.
Of what's not directly in my experience, of course it's real.
Yes. That's right. You could say that when this insists that imagery as memory is real and durable, bada boom.
Even though it's going to be close enough, you know. The guy, you know, I'm wrong maybe like 10-20% of the time, like, but.
Yeah, right.
At the time, like, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's working for me.
You tested this.
Yeah, really. I remember where my toys are.
Uh-huh. Maybe as a young kid, you think, like, I remember it all, but later on, you're like, okay, maybe not all of it, but it's good enough for me. Like,
Right. I mean, let's face it or not, that what we're playing around with is the possible texture of reality. That's, you know, saying too much. Could turn out to be radically, like uber duper, super uber duper, radically different from what our imagination has convinced us of that it is.
I like that as a possibility.
Yeah.
It's fun when you get glimpses.
Yes.
But about the extent of it so far.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you go back to, let's just call it the raw or unadulterated data field of what we're referring to as experiencing. Whoa. Like you said, how is this even happening?
Yeah.
Why do I feel anything? Right? So we just, you could say go, but it's not like you have to go because that's all you got, so you don't have to go to it. Right? It's like, whoa. You don't have to get on a cushion and do mala, you know, japa or anything to get to what this already is. That would be foolish. So Go suggests chill. Go suggests shut the fuck up and feel this. That's Go.
Loiter.
That's right. Loiter. And one discovers, you know, hopefully, no guarantee, or your money back. But you can't find anything other than the profundity of not knowing what this is. Anything you think you find, anything I think I find, we think we find, is abstraction. Is a, you could say, a false sense of identity, a false accusation. And the texture of what this already is what this already is. I mean, here it is. You know, we're not, you don't have to climb some mountain to be struck by realization. I mean, you can sit down on an anthill and get bit. That'd probably be better. You don't have to go anywhere, obviously.
The oxygen deprivation. Mountaintops are good, man.
Yeah, oxygen. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I had an old friend that was running the Himalayas and nearly died up there. Yeah, he got severely altitude sick and oxygen deprived that he should have died, except that some miraculous way he found himself at a very high altitude village, and they knew. One look at him, they knew. Another stupid fucking Westerner climbing too high. Right? Here comes another one, staggering in town like being under the influence of rabies. Didn't know his name, didn't know where he was, I mean, completely delusional. It took, he said, you know, a couple of weeks in a hut that, you know, they gave him a hut and gave him water and gave him food and for him to regain his, he had fevers, he had chills. I mean, he was close.
They say the only way to really help them
is you go to a lower altitude. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they couldn't get him much lower than where he was. You know.
Stop going up.
Yeah, just stop going up. Turn your ass around or die.
That's kind of where we started with this discussion.
Yeah.
There's no turning for an answer.
No.
It doesn't take no for an answer.
No. No, it won't.
We need to build an oxygen bar in this town, some of the high institution.
Yeah?
Have you ever been to one?
An oxygen bar?
Yeah.
No? I mean, I remember that, you know, they were around and stuff, but I don't actually remember picking up. Yeah.
You get really high?
I know, I've never been. I can't even remember what I heard, but it's supposed to be, I don't know, fun, something good.
I remember some kind of a healing technique which included rebounding, right? Small trampoline. Rebounding, which, right, moves the prana and moves the heart and increases the heart rate. Doing that while sipping from a mask, tank oxygen. Or, you know, certainly a blend of tank oxygen with ambient air. And so this way, as the metabolic rate is rising from the exercise, you are infusing the body with, you know, fresh oxygen. Very therapeutic. I think you might also rust more quickly, but the oxidation could also accelerate, but who cares? You're high.
One of those good spiritual highs, too.
It is. It's one of those good spiritual highs. Yeah. The becoming, you know, the gnawing seduction of becoming, is really, really hard to shake.
well, it's propelled by the, let me the fuck out of this. There's got to be something I can do about this uncomfortable state.
Yep.
That propels you into becoming.
Yes, but even, yes, for sure. Wind it back to a more subtle observation. You could say we're always at this membrane, but we notice it most, let's say, going into sleep or coming out of sleep. Right? Where you don't give a fuck about becoming. And yet, the seed of becoming, of pattern recognition, of accumulation, of setting yourself up within some kind of coordinate field is there. So it's not even reactive. Yeah. The art of becoming, the myth of becoming, is very, very subtle. Completely non-volitional, like fucking everything is completely non-volitional. And it's not just reactive. It's actually dynamic. Well, it's all, you could say it's all throughout what we call the day. Yeah, because we're adrift in associated mind. We're living, you could say, as a product of associative mind. And that's simply, right, that's the non-reactive, you could say, consequence or gift of this urgency of becoming, of pattern recognition, dynamism, radiant dynamism, presuming self. It's so remarkably subtle, it's very hard to catch consciously. And even if you get a glimpse or two, it will thrust you into daydream very fast. Its Aikido is really unbeatable, right? The myth of becoming, the myth of individuation, is an Aikido master that will flip you at every turn. You can't really defend against it. But it's not like you have to defend against it. You get a few glimpses, and you're like, oh, I can't outsmart this shit. You can't outsmart this. I mean, how many people even have a conversation that uses skillful or unskillful metaphor to even suggest that the myth of becoming is a factor in life? It's not even in the common vocabulary, you know? News at 7, becoming sucks. The myth of becoming sucks. Let's hear from Dr. Oz on how to outwit the myth of becoming. What the fuck are you talking about? So it's quite unusual to have a conversation where you can even talk about the gesture, the genesis of becoming. It's weird. But as you feel it, as you see it, as you notice yourself being a kind of a product of this urgency of becoming, which is completely heretical, maybe you get a giggle, or a chill, or a chuckle, or a dark night of the soul, you know, for a couple hours or a couple lifetimes. Well, you know, who's running this thing? Nobody. Nobody's running it. And yet, if you're lucky, you can supplicate the God of your choice, right? The religious founder of your choice for help, for intervention, because the panic is too fucking hot and I can't take it anymore. And you might get a gift. You might get a bone. Thank you, Jesus. And I mean that. I mean, really. When you're in the midst of a panic that's choking the life out of you, and Jesus or, you know, Muhammad or Shiva or, you know, Byron Katie throws you a bone, you're thankful. Nothing wrong with that. So you could say there's a genesis, metaphor only, of whatever this is or isn't, agreeing to individuation through what we call becoming, hallucination, space-time, corporeal incarceration, I me, mine. You could say it agrees to it. Or it's just playing hide and seek. It's like, oh, I'm going to just fuck with myself and see if I can forget myself. Really, it's as simple as that. I'm going to see if I can forget myself, because you could say I'm kind of tired of being myself. I'd like to see if I can forget myself. Now you're fucked, because it wants to fuck around. Because consciousness wants to have fun, we're in trouble. As you could say, the bacterial repercussion of forgetfulness. God damn it.
Just because you want to sleep doesn't mean those dreams aren't just going to get pulled.
That's right. That's right.
Well, at least somebody's enjoying themselves, right?
Yeah, that's right. Why shouldn't consciousness be enjoying itself at our expense? That's cool. When we're dissociative through PTSD, through stress, right, through injury, that's a retreat into a kind of, you know, virtual protective membrane so as to avoid further injury, psychic, physical, you name it, right? So dissociative response to injury or war or any kind of, you know, traumatic incoming is, you know, certainly a forgivable, understandable response to wall one's so-called self off from the unmanageability of way too much data imposing upon the body or the mind. So in the what we call the myth of self-realization or liberation, what you could say is a functional dissociation. Or, in a sense, you could say, this game that consciousness is playing to forget itself at your expense, you know, drops the can and goes home. And then what occurs in your so-called experience is the resolution of the myth of forgetfulness. So there's, you could say, a kind of dissociation is not quite right. A withdrawal is not quite right. Intimacy is not quite right, right? Miraculous recognition or revelation, that's not quite right, because all of those, right, they continue to imply, right, entity and genesis. The words, what can we do? You know, any kind of word that sounds, that we're enthused about or that we reject is still implying the suggestibility of agency, entity, and event. You can't escape that. But this is, can we say, presenting completely without reference. So that same curious force that you could say cajoles or seduces us to forget ourselves, itself, chills out. In the Hindu faith, you would say the Divine Mother cuts you, you know, throws you a bone. You please the Divine Mother through appropriate worship, through appropriate, right, renunciation, through appropriate service, karma, jnana, bhakti, asana, right, yoga, raja yoga, and the Mother says, good for you.
You don't have that.
Yeah, no. No. But the metaphor is fun, because if you could say it's the will of the Divine Mother that suggests or infers forgetfulness, and therefore the dark night of the soul of suffering, and it's the grace or the will of the Divine Mother that forgetfulness leaves you. And this. The urgent seduction or repetition of becoming lapses. Different texture of loyalty occurs. Right? Instead of loyalty to self as body, as person, as owner of belongings. The loyalty shifts. And this reveals itself to itself to be without affliction. Fuck you if you can't take a joke. Who asked you anyway?
Yeah, it just seems like I take it to the next level. Like, oh, I just need to shift my loyalty. So, like,
I know.
There's like a me that's shifting, and it's like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's presented, I'm like, okay,
I'll just
continue doing what I've always been doing, but
yeah.
It looks a little different this time. So,
yeah.
We're moving along now.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yep.
Maybe next time.
What's fun is that you're always being presented, could we say, on a silver platter with next time. Every moment, were there any, is an absolute refresh of how about now?
Different looking around.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I might have screwed up a moment ago, but here's a brand new opportunity. And that's all you've got is a brand new opportunity.
No, just forever.
Yeah, like just forever. Right. That's why it's fun to play, for me anyway. It's fun to play around with the metaphor of you're presented nonstop with a so-called fork in the road. You can go samsaric or you can go nirvanic. And the launching pad is where? Right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now. Nonstop. And it can present samsarically, which is the myth of individuation, the myth of becoming, and the quarrel and the bracing that accompanies that. Or it can go nirvanic. It's like, free from accoutrement, free from self. Free from past, free from future. Free from the very consciousness that could be hoodwinked. Which is strange, because we don't necessarily see or have some kind of sensitivity to what could this possibly be if not for consciousness. Right? Yeah. What? Well, what could this possibly be if it's not consciousness? Dude, I don't know. I have no idea. And yet, this can breathe into itself and just not associate as consciousness. Not associate as my consciousness. Unburdened completely by quality. That's how freedom is not an accoutrement. Because you can't find anything that was ever not free that's now enjoying the enviable boon of freedom. Right? It's just this. It's always just this. It's always just this. Absolutely unencumbered. In the midst of, you know, the absolute global chaos. You know, goodwill.
Did you watch the TV show True Detective?
The recent one or the first one?
The recent one.
No, I haven't seen any of the episodes of the recent one.
You watched the first one?
Yes. I mean, sporadically, over the shoulder of my lovely wife, who was binge-watching it on Hulu. scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, first one was good.
Yeah,
it was good. Like, McConaughey's character, I guess most of them do.
Yeah.
The second one has a guy who, like, you know, has a retreat center and holds up meditation classes.
Oh, cool.
Fun to see somebody in popular culture.
Nice.
But, you know, the first season has a bit of that, too, with McConaughey's character.
Yeah. Yeah, they're weaving a little, you know, New Age mumbo-jumbo into the TV culture.
But his was like a new strain that I guess that person hadn't heard before. I don't know if you had, but, you know, earlier in the show, the series, it starts off with him talking about, like, humanity just being a complete mistake, and they should,
yeah.
His meditation is to, like, it is on Jesus' his moment before the Garden of Gethsemane, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Where he, like, knew that, like, his destiny was to die.
Yes.
That's what he thinks, like, humanity's destiny is to die, and he should, like, you know, walk willingly into that as Jesus was able to.
I love it. Yeah. Bold. That's bold.
In a way, that's what we're talking about here. It's,
yeah.
The death of the self.
That's exactly this. It's the dissolution.
Identifying something other than the self. It's a death.
Yes. Yes.
It's like that little bullshit when we talk about it, but that's, as far as I can understand it, what we're looking at.
Oh, yeah, from my point of view,
it's a beam. Right? It's a beam. Pizza?
No, I have a couple of things. But I got a whole one there, huh?
This is like the best pizza, not just in both counties, but perhaps in the universe. This is a pizza that Jesus ate before he died.
Well, in that case, I gotta have a pizza.
You should have a pizza.
What are you saying
with that? Matthews.
Where is it from?
A pizza place down the street near the Acme Market.
Oh, they sell beer there too, right?
Yeah. I think so.
I bought beer there maybe like 10 years ago.
Baca Bistro or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, James.
Oh, you must have heard of pizza.
Peaches on the right.
He just never got to walk through the door.
Full service Sangha.
So they're here, I see.
They're repairing the floor next door.
So I guess Tom went upstairs. Lives downstairs, right?
Yes.
Are they taking out the asbestos scores out? Are they asbestos?
They might have been. I don't know if the pile remover was wearing protective gear or not.
They're like old 12 by 12, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not always, but a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, tile doesn't really make a lot of dust. Doesn't really get you sick.
Mm-hmm.
All the water on it should have kept the dust to a minimum. All the mold and the moisture. I know I've said it before, but the rule of no manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the crux of it. Like, mm-hmm. Let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in there and try to fix it or negotiate or any of that. Just, and it leaves you in a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
Not always fun. Or like that. But it's not a practice, it's just methods of manipulation with David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, manipulation is another, you know, good word for bracing. Damage control.
Even interest in that is being.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you've ever been really sick and you kind of lose the impetus to do anything about it.
Yeah.
You just go floppy and it's like, fuck, I'm just sick. It's
yeah.
Really there. You don't even really necessarily want to take painkiller or anything. Because you just beat. That's what it feels like.
Every single morning when I wake up. Man, I feel a lot better if I move, but I think I'll just sit here in pain.
Is it because you do a lot of physical stuff at work?
No, I just don't like the mornings.
Not a morning person?
No. If I did no work or a lot of work, it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't matter if it's noon or 6 a.m.
Getting up just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
We reflect on present experience as being some kind of deliverable for our pleasure.
Of course. That's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's, that's the good news. So this asks a kind of very simple question. Really, what if present experience is not a deliverable?
You mean it's not the subject of some, it's not the result of some outcome? Something like that.
Well, it, both. It's not. It's neither consequence or source.
It's almost... Is it possible to experience it as not a deliverable?
Yes.
To stop trying to manipulate it.
I think that's the question. You know, just to be bold and brash, because I enjoy that. All yoga, all systems, all religions, all founders of religions, ask the question, what if this is not a deliverable? You think Jesus had a good time in the 40 days and the 40 nights in the circle in the desert? Yeah, what was he doing? You know, playing his harmonica?
Yeah. We know he wasn't hanging out eating pizza.
Right? And the Buddha had it easy. That was just one night.
Well, he did, like, starve himself. To, like,
he was at it for decades?
No, not that long, but, like,
nope.
7 years, right, I think?
Seven?
Yeah.
All right, it was a 7-year stint.
Pretty long enough.
Yeah. Jesus had 40 days. Jesus wins.
Well... It was nailed to a cross at the end of that, so...
Jesus was.
Yeah. Depends how you want it.
I guess they pulled straws.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your Jesus straw.
It's all the same person, it's just a reincarnation.
Yeah, it's all the same person, they just keep, you know...
Jesus is my tray, just getting it warmed up.
Yeah.
Next one.
Absolutely getting warmed up. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see the look on the Bush's faces when they don't rapture. This is an engaged profundity of texture. It's absolute.
So all of the personality theories, psychologists.
Yes.
Yep. It's just barking up trees.
Sure. I mean, they're functional within the right morphic resonant embrace of, call it the presumption of human. Right? They've all been contributory,
sure.
Functional, but within a very, you could say, narrow bandwidth of hysteria, of presumption. Yeah. Are we beggars of the divine?
I'm sorry.
Beggars of the divine.
You cannot petition the Lord with prayer. Who was that?
Okay. That was Jim Morrison.
Petition the Lord with prayer.
But, you know, under the influence of religiosity and so many similar programs that promise amelioration of suffering, we remain beggars to the divine, beggars to the sacred. And immersive revelation suggests otherwise.
That's precarious.
Yeah.
Can I just rest now? Isn't this dumb?
Yes. Immersive sleep, meaning just sinking in, just like, not goal oriented. You're just.
This is not a deliverable. It's the end of the myth of this being a deliverable, of this being the consequence of anything, of this being the cause of something other than itself.
It's weird because it seems like it's intertwined with things like steps and goals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like there's this stuff that still exists, kind of, but it just doesn't have that part that you thought it did, you know? In other words, it does seem to me like there's a refinement or there's something. I mean, I don't know.
It's endlessly refinable. I mean, you know, for the short period of time that so-called humans were playing around with either the macro or the micro, you know, universe field, what have we found? I mean, are we done? Are we done? 2015, we got this? I
just
don't think so.
Close.
We're getting close. Yeah, we think we're getting close to some finality of an appreciation of the physics of creation. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Unified field theory.
Yeah.
We're going to get it.
My nephew is working for the, I don't know, some accelerator project. It's the major thing that's looking at the Higgs boson and all that.
Yes.
Owned jointly by France and another.
CERN?
Yeah, he's working on a CERN project. It's
yep.
like he's yeah. in college and he's helping with the CERN project.
Why not?
It's pretty cool. He was telling me about it. He mentioned Higgs boson. I'm like, I gotta get him the boson.
Yeah.
He's gonna get a kick out of that.
I hope. No, this is, turns out that the entire universe is made out of bosons. If you look really closely at them, all of a sudden you can see their wild orange hair. Oh my god, the whole universe is made out of bosons. Who would have thought? Hi, kids!
We need to hurry up over there and have some sort of accident so we can get superpowers.
Yeah.
At least make it more interesting.
Yeah, that would make it more interesting.
It's funny on TV, like mass media kind of stuff. It does, there's a really explicit kind of dreaming in that. You know, like, that's where, like, science fiction and all that.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yes. Ayahuasca, TV, same.
One's just you're tuning in your own head, one's you're tuning in somebody else's.
Yeah. You know, Ant-Man, Psycho 3.
You see Chopping? My brother saw the movie Chopping.
No.
I hadn't heard of it. He showed me the preview.
It's a movie?
Yeah, Chappie, like C-H-A-P-P-I-E.
Oh, Chappie. The robot, right?
Well, they're British, they pronounce it Chappie.
Chappie? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, I just watched the preview, and he's like, oh, you know, I have consciousness, I'm alive, I'm Chappie. It's like, this is where my journey is.
Yeah.
Like a somebody.
Yeah.
It seemed like another, you know, sort of this in popular culture again.
Yeah. We're restless with becoming. We're malnourished by the ongoing presentation of the bright. We mistake the ongoing presentation of the bright as a majesty of absolute inclusivity, unafflictable inclusivity as self. And so the restlessness is, you know, born.
It's funny, that shitstorm that I was describing, it's almost like the self gets bigger. It's like the self goes and fills every niche of everything, and that's the misery.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, when, you know, Paul Hederman wisely used the metaphor of selfing, that was, you know, that's a revelation into what the mind is doing to create an imaginary, autonomous, durable being that suffers restlessness and greed and all manner of affliction. And that selfing can be manageable, like my life, right? Sometimes it can, you could say, shrink, and there's a few moments of revelation. Whoa. God, I'm not myself. Yes. Or it can inflate. Yeah.
It's, you know, considering his tendency to control.
Yes.
You know, which is the same, really. It's
sure.
The extra version of self.
Yes.
Just trying to get to the root.
To
the root point.
Yeah, this is the root.
The root of everything.
Yeah. See, we might be looking for ingredients, genesis, source, Higgs boson, bosoon.
I'm looking for a nice catchphrase.
There's your catchphrase.
That's
looking
it.
Looking for a nice catchphrase.
That's enough, yeah. Right. Yeah. See, it's too weird because whatever we're referring to as reality, who knows what that is, or this, whatever it may or may not be, is not operating as source, cause and effect, as consequence. It's not. It's dreaming in, truly in situ. There is no source. There is no consequence. It's just the profound urgency of dreaming. That's why it's fun to, you know, drive into a snowstorm at night with the flakes hitting the windshield. You're blinded, right, by a nonstop profuseness or profundity of impact. And you're completely disoriented. You can't really see the road because all you got is snow in your face, flake after flake, immeasurable, nonstop. No beginning, no end.
And the interesting thing is, you turn the lights down.
Yeah.
You can see them.
Yeah, that's right. Part of the blindness is the headlights on the snowflake.
It's like you're projecting so hard.
That's right, because a snowflake is a crystal, right? Yeah. So it's a magnifying crystal when it comes to visible light. So here we are in a causeless, ceaseless, deliverable free effusion. Of nothing at all. Appearing as the remarkability of nested infinities of pattern and consciousness. And, not that there's an end or a but even, leave it alone. You see, we cling just enough to it to want to make it right for me. Right? Isn't that the snake? eating its own tail?
I definitely want, you know, I keep going back to wanting to frame it.
Yes. Well, the framing is, I mean, it's another metaphor for wanting this to be about something.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully for the benefit or my pleasure or my security. So, you know, Sri Ramjeet Maharaj would emphasize to his devotees, what don't you understand about this is a dream? You know? Or he would say cool things like, don't touch it. Don't touch it. See, the moment you put your nose to the glass or your finger on it, the profusion, you could say, spreads osmotically, instantaneously, as self and other. Faster than you can say osmosis. Or Oz. So that's why his suggestion, again, you know, metaphoric of course, was don't touch it. Don't go in to fuck with the dinosaur. And once in, don't try to remedy it. You are not to be bold. You're not the recipient of consciousness. Really, don't touch it. That would include framing, right? Manipulating, trying to be safe, enjoining.
In consciousness, the word is just caused immense stress and angst.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, what was his name? Wayne's guru, Ramesh, right? Ramesh. Consciousness is all there is. All there is consciousness. Big fucking deal. You know, how about not? What does consciousness convey? All there is all there is. All there is all there is. Thumbs up, baby. But the problem is, now that you know what it is, now that you know that all that is all that is, so... it's the touching that gets this in trouble. Don't touch it. It's its problem that consciousness is all there is and all there is consciousness. It's not your problem. And it's not a revelation for you. It's like, leave that shit alone, man. We get excited. Right? This gets excited by its own presentation. So it touches. Oh, am I something? Bada boom, you're fucked. How quickly? Quicker than quick can be. But only apparitionally so. It just happens to be a potent, poignant, highly pixelated apparition, complete with remarkable sensation. And so it sure can feel afflictive. Hi. Pizza. Help yourself.
Really?
Yes.
And is it soft meat? So eat the pizza and then fall onto the mat?
Yeah, eat the pizza and then take a nap. You know, remedying our disquietude is no solution for disquietude. That's why he said, don't touch it.
It just never works.
No, it can't work.
Infinite negotiation is so pathetic. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a chess player, so yes. Trying to micromanage consciousness is like playing with spasti.
You're gonna lose.
You're gonna lose. It's got you. He takes one look at you, the game is over. You place your hand on one piece, done. That's how good, right? That kind of mind is in terms of seeing a profundity of pattern. 18 moves, 20 moves out from merely touching a piece, he's already seen how he's going to kill you. That's how good consciousness is. It's got you. You're dead. You're dead. King, done. How quickly? Right here, right now, you're done. You touch this, king dead. That's how quick. You put your finger on a piece, your king is horizontal.
Maybe I'd be curious to see how I lose.
But isn't that life?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
And then maybe make it last a little longer.
So beautiful. It's beautiful. We want to see how we lose.
Because I will have to say, it's an interesting analogy. I've seen people get so ruffled because they should have won in the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How could he beat me? You know, it's like, relax.
Yeah.
And for me, I could lose 7 games in a row.
Yeah.
Ready for the 8th because there's a certain joy in doing my best. And winning and losing is like, so what?
Yeah.
You know, if you did well and I did well and you were better, fantastic. Look at that. Wow.
Yeah.
You earned that.
Well, I can get tired of this.
Yeah.
Well, if it's, to me, if I'm like distracted, frustrated, attached to a strategy, I mean, this kind of fits in what you remind us of too. If you have a strategy to, you know, attain some state,
yes,
you're screwed before you start.
King horizontal.
Yeah. Because the whole premise is,
yes,
you know, achieving,
yes,
presence somewhere in the future,
yes,
under certain conditions.
Right.
Well, that's that. Right?
See, the whole premises is that metaphor of you touch this, now you've got premises. The moment you've got premises, king horizontal.
Who was that? Can't touch this.
Can't touch this. Do 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 do.
Touch or don't touch, the strings being done. The strings are being pulled, touch or not.
Yeah. Yes. Again, only apparitionally so. The moment we reach even a conclusion that looks like a fond surrender, not going to help.
Next minute, you'll be coming in swinging.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can put on your gloves a second after you agree publicly to surrender. really, I surrender. Really? Oh, I'll figure it out.
It's grinning all the way through.
Yeah.
It's that grin all the way through either
position. It's
grinning? What's that? It's grinning, yeah.
Cheshire.
Like a Cheshire cat.
And it's fun.
Taking you out. Going to texture is practical in that texture is that this is so vibratory, diffuse, open, strange, shamanic, irrational. That's texture. Going virtual to metaphor, to mind, to cause, effect, and justification, that's heresy. That's abstraction. You can notice the difference as a yogi, practicing yogi, hatha or otherwise. Texture has a certain kind of brightness. Texture is punctuated by availability. Texture is punctuated by inclusivity. Texture reveals release from clinging, grasping. Whereas mind, whoop, suffers from affliction instantaneously.
I have a very difficult time getting along in this life without anxiety, without diving into mind.
Yes.
I mean, and then because I'm not getting the results that I want, some other mind mental mechanism.
Yes. right.
fight with that and to win over that.
Yes.
And it's horrible, but like.
Yes.
And so I kind of, you know, like I feel right now, this is just something that.
Sure.
Because the only way I could seem to do what I felt I needed to do to
yes.
was to abandon everything, like paper focus, you know, like a compulsive paper focus crazy person.
Sure.
But and I got the job done. It took me those 7 or something. You know, but
uh-huh.
I did what I needed to do, and which made me feel good. Because,
right.
I had screwed up so many times trying to, it was like too big a problem.
Everybody knows that about you.
And, but now I'm struggling trying to like let that go. There's this
power, right.
this
residue
of intentness.
Yeah, of willful vigilance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to shape.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Go to texture. Don't quarrel with mind for what's appearing in it. Don't resolve it. You really have to shift out of the loop of mind to go to a, could we say, a completely, go to a different ballpark. Don't play with the Cubs. Play with the Phillies. If you stay at Cubs Stadium, you're going to remain in shoulder raised, right? Willful so-called intentionality. Just leave the stadium. Drop your bat. Throw your jersey. Go to another stadium where there's no game. Go to texture. Presence. You don't have to resolve the so-called aftermath of what might have appeared in your experience as vigilance, focus, quarrel, right? Some kind of practical violence that you may have perpetrated on yourself to get a task done.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. Right. So. Yeah. Seeking resolution for affliction can only reinforce the myth of affliction. No crime. It's just a loop. I have to be right. I have to be justified. I have to figure it out. I have to make peace with, right? I, me, my. This, shoulders. Just... leave the game. What you could do is throw a right hook at the umpire and you'll get ejected. Out. Out you go. To the locker room. Get out. Plus it'll be fun. This is not to, what would you say, mitigate or make small of the vibratory field that is suggesting, right, this conundrum. So the vibratory field that is suggesting or inferring a certain kind of conundrum, it's not really a problem. It's the meaning, right, associated with the vibratory field as self that suggests, you know, the gripping. So, of course, in miracles, and I'm an expert on that all of a sudden. I went to one program the other night, I found out everything. From a Course in Miracles perspective, one recognizes the pain of individuation, pain of belief, the isolation of being right, justifying, and beseeches the good Lord, divine intervention, you know, Alfred E. Newman or Christ, whoever you turn to grant us the gift of a different perspective, which might include something loosely referred to as forgiveness, something loosely referred to as surrender, something loosely referred to as revelation, which permits us to release ourselves from a position of focus, continuity, or grief into positionlessness. So this suggestion of going to texture is absolutely no different than the wisdom being espoused in the Course.
It's just a little more direct. It's a lot.
I can't stand all of the evangelical overlays of the bullshit in a fucking Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
And I was given permission by the teacher of the program to say, he said very graciously, if not passive-aggressively, the Course says might not be for you. Which is a way of saying,
get lost.
Get out of my program. You oppositional dick fuck. Sounded real nice, but it was like, you can leave now, you oppositional dick fuck. I thanked him for his kind permission.
Well, if the Course in Miracles says it,
it's got to be true. The Course in Miracles is second only to, like, Rolling Stone.
Well, there goes the mind again, right?
Yes.
It's engaged with some kind of content.
Yes.
And the content's kind of sexy because it's taking you to know content.
Yes.
But then you're kind of like, you're getting this self-improvement zone, you know.
Yes.
You're really dissatisfied because there's no end.
Yeah, there's no, see,
it's the endless road.
Yes, it's a loop. It's an endless loop because there's no end to self-reference, right? When dealing with the myth of, let's say, forgiveness or being relieved of self, it's a loop. And that could turn out to be a beautiful life. If you're successful, thank you. If you're successful at forgiveness, or what was that cool Hawaiian thing? Anapanapana? Manahana?
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
Don't worry.
No, this was an actual, there was a thing called Anapanapana Wanahona.
Oh, no.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Please forgive me. All right?
Oh,
yeah,
two windows on the side. Two windows on the side.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow, perhaps.
Okay, thanks.
See you.
Bye.
Yeah, so that's another beautiful skill of activized forgiveness, which turns out to be kind of like a mantra. It creates a zone of relaxation, perhaps wonder, non-affliction, which could turn out to be a like metta practice. I mean, completely lovely, completely transcendent. And if you remember to do it, or if you're turned on by it, and you practice it, you can probably get really, really high. You could probably receive money for assisting others with the transmission of the practice.
Yeah, there's a lot of sticky business when that comes to that. One being elevates another, or one being puts down another, and then before you know it.
Well, this is what I was noticing for myself by participating in that Course meeting. I was seeing, you know, a loop of reference back to self as a successful engineer of forgiveness, resulting in the sought for release. I'm like, boy, you're going to stay in that loop likely for a long time, especially if it appears to be working. And if that's one man's ceiling is another man's floor, fantastic. It's really kind of up to you, me, whomever, to apply your own bizarre personality, sentiment, texture of being, to whether you want to go evangelical, direct to Jesus through the Catholic Church, the Christian faith, through Gnosticism, or go to Jesus through Course in Miracles as something that's perhaps less church-y, but still provides you with a basic faith for transcendent forgiveness. Or you might drop that all together and do it no frills.
I have a feeling that if there's an album and you're the tone arm, you're going to go straight to the center.
So, yeah, really.
No proofs for me.
Yeah. I hear you. That's a great metaphor, yeah.
It's funny, you're thinking that. I'm thinking of this Escher type.
Yes.
And I'm seeing Jack going over. Well, flying off in the middle of the
air. Fly off the stairs, baby. Yeah, go start walking upside down and just fly off the stairs.
Catch me if you can.
Transhuman, you know, has the benefit, the tickle of being kind of evocative. Because now it's not just the resolution of the myth of consciousness, so it's palatable to me. Whoop! What was spoken about during that course meeting was a comment that I was very, very happy to take umbrage with, right? Privately, where it was suggested that being with God on a, call it, near nonstop basis for the remainder of your life is more or less impossible, which is suggesting that the entire cultures of liberation, of awakening, of enlightenment, of Kensho, of release from self is impossible. That's how I was like. So, like, all of those cultures and teachings, Gnostic, non-Gnostic, dual, non-dual, that suggest liberation could turn out to be what the nature of reality is impossible. I was sitting there going,
No, but was this more opinion on the facilitator's part, or was it reading from scripture?
It has to be, because it's really hard to go to the so-called course itself and find something that is not going to be interpretable. And so the next best thing, considering enlightenment's off the table, I mean, you know, think of it on the toilet once in a while just for fun, but, I mean, don't be serious about waking up. It's impossible. So the next best thing is to go to Anapanawanawana, is to you know, intervene with forgiveness so that your mind is at peace. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. It's not that I refute the viability of forgiveness as a path of release, but no, I want to go impossible. I want to be like Tom Cruise. I want to be the fucking Tom Cruise of liberation and do my own stunts.
I thought this one would be a Scientologist.
We didn't think of that. That would have been a great introduction to the last Sunday.
Which?
Tom Cruise,
yeah. Hey, don't worry, they'll invite me back. Har, har, har.
Oh, I think that they will, actually. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they invite.
Okay, you messed up, Jeff.
That was too nice.
No.
I can change that.
It was excellent. It was fantastic.
That's
good.
Because
it is an invitation into presence. Even their presence is elusive when there's a person that's jockeying for position, for presence in a way. I mean, that's the kind of the funny thing about it. I wasn't really that clearly focused on the aspirant within as perhaps a point of irritation.
Yes.
That could be looked at and be amused by, as opposed to, well, that's a given. This self is evolving into a much better state. And, you know, really? to where I could mess up royally on a given day.
Yeah.
And I could be over it, actually. And this happened today.
Yeah.
I kind of lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you had a meltdown?
Yeah, but then I focused on the work. I was refusing to change this state. There's more work to be done. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You gotta go. I'm out. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm gonna calm down by doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and
Yeah.
And then it was like, I'm good. They're good. And things progressed.
I love it.
In the past, man, a major complex because the self.
Right.
How could you? You know, and then you, I.
Oh, yeah.
That's no fucking me.
Right. Can you get a shovel and some coal?
This needs to be done. I'm not going to go somewhere and BS with you to try to get over something that doesn't need to be gotten with.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay with the work.
Well, that's fun.
And it worked.
It's the you can say that, you know, practical deliverable of elasticity.
Yeah, and even without a person, in a sense, that elasticity is, I'm not caught up in saying, oh, I fucked up, or, oh, it's working, or not working. It's, wow, it worked itself out.
Yeah.
With really not a whole lot of mental intervention.
Sweet.
And maybe that's a takeaway. I don't know. I can't get away.
It's an honest
sort of game.
It's an honest report.
Analyzed game for
yeah.
Situation. But that's the way it is.
Yeah. From the point of view of pretending that this is something and that we ought to do something with it, especially to ameliorate what appears to be affliction, then that's why the utility of go-to texture could come in handy. But it's not really a solution. It's not really anything. Because as we enjoy, you could say, more nuanced elasticity, the myth of the entirety is, I don't know, revealed? Now there's, you know, boy, there's room to do something about something, right? As we play around with the oscillation of mind, which is virtual, texture, which I would suggest is actual, makes more sense to whatever we think we are. And shamanically, we, right, start leaning in the direction of actual. And here's an example, not that there need be a deliverable, of greater sense of elasticity, more efficient sense of forgiveness, quicker transmutation of, right, bracing, relaxing into openness. But I don't want to sell that, because then it becomes another fucking thing.
Yeah, because the opposite has proven to be valuable as well. Like, not being averse to aversion.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
I mean, sure.
I remember the conundrum of listening to, I forget who it was, Jerry coming and saying, things are working pretty well for him. You know, there's this section. Well, what's the percentage of that section?
Oh, right.
How about 35%?
Yeah.
You said, focus on the 65. That's yeah. where it's at.
That's right. That's where it's happening.
And that,
your liberation is coming from the shit house, not what's going well.
And see, that counterbalance is like a juicy piece, because then it's not, I'm waiting for that feeling. Fucking thing right now sucks.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? This fucking thing. Hey, I'm alive. Whoa. Ooh, it's intense. Whoa. it's dark. Whoa. it's. I don't even know. Forget what I'm doing. Whoa. I'd say so. It's a little different than elasticity, but again, another takeaway: range.
Yes.
It was. It seemed to be polarized towards a presumed, you know, things that are mutually agreed to. Peace, light, love, harmony.
Yes.
You know, symbiosis and so forth. And then, you know, you find that dissonant half note, two people holding those half notes in a choir, man, it's intense, it's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you can feel it. It's just like, it wants to Well, that's what it wants to harmonize. It is like, and it actually has some emotive effect, not body. I just mean vibration. So yeah, it's and even again, I'm still focused on self, but I can't help it. This self improvement thing then relaxed into seeing that what I saw as a fault was actually a gift. So it's like a fault or a gift then becomes irrelevant, and then the self behind the fault, the person perceiving fault and gift, become less relevant.
Well played.
So anyhow, sir. Maybe it's the pizza.
Let's have another slice.
Did you try my chili paste? Maybe it's that. I'm indulging. I think I have some residue too.
I do like words like texture, because it seems like the more you can nail something down, the quicker you're going to find the problem. Repeat a mantra over and over, and then, you know, I don't know, or a visual, you know, a sight, a word. You know.
This is a dynamic apparitional field. That's what we sense or feel. The revelation of a dynamic apparitional field.
Yeah, personhood.
And the myth of personhood, which is kind of an extraction of the dynamic field, is a, right? It's an incrustation. It's a hyper focus. And it goes on, right? The rumination of personhood goes on, right? Effortlessly, impersonally, spontaneously, slinging, streaming into view according to whatever the so-called moment's conditioning is, which has no duration. So by playing around with what's not working, the angst of continuity, the angst of individuation, we start to tune into, attenuate with the dynamism of a morphically resonant field with nothing to be found. You can't even call that an identity. And this poetry of one's own experience, one's self, big S, small s, doesn't matter. Irrefutably so. So if we become willing or curious, interested in exploring the texture of experience together, conversationally, open-eyed, cordially, this resonant vibration, this texture of being, becomes more palpable. That's the shift in loyalty. Who knew that emptiness could be so inspiringly nourishing? We thought this had to be about something for it to be nourishing. That it had to be about me to be nourishing. Turns out that's not so. It's not about anything. And it sure shit isn't happening to you. So it turns out, if I can be so blasphemous to counter the conclusions of a particular Course in Miracles teachers, what was said to be impossible turns out to be all that's happening. Conscious contact without adornment is Brahman, is the sacred, nonstop for the duration, even though stop and duration don't mean anything. As we release from the myth of personhood, the unforgiving, the forgiving, the unforgivable, the forgivable, all this is Brahman. Not as an impossibility, but as the only thing there is. Take that.
Yeah, I think that there's just, most facilitators just can't do it justice. I mean, that's my feeling about it, of course, in members.
Yeah.
Now, it can be quite amazing, my experience of it. But it never seems to get legs because it just you don't leap like the way we leap here.
It keeps looping back to the person.
It always comes.
And it loops back to the practicalities or the good hair day for the person as a response to suffering, as a response to what's referred to over and over and over again, and I can't stand it, ego. Which of course is shorthand for this isn't real. But it's way more curious than this is real or not real. Right? If you just aim a shotgun and go, boom, this isn't real, you haven't really, right? You haven't really touched anything. It's just a blanket, you know, it's just buckshot. So using it's not real or using ego or using these inconvenient shorthands, it's a field of accusation. And it's not revelatory.
Yeah.
But I love to complain about everything, so, you know. See, by texture, we're taking the whole entirety of this plenum, not just as the body, but as the, let's say, you know, the locus of luminosity. Right? Don Juan, luminous egg, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is a locus, not quite a locus, of luminosity. And as we go to what we're suggesting by texture, we're filling the plenum of luminosity with sensitivity and availability. That's not fucking human. It's just not. It's not beleaguered by human. It's not beleaguered by ego. There's no mistake. There's no reason to nauseate over it. That's the yogic difference, I could say. Mind is the shorthand for I'm fucked.
Yeah.
But texture, right? Radiant, luminous, vibratory presence without explanation, without justification, without having to defend anything or becoming anything, has its own signature, has its own profundity. Mind is simply a a remora on the shard of self.
So I have a question. What actually interfaces with this amazing
artifact? Interfaces would suggest there's something other than this amazing.
Right, but that wowness, that oh shit, or whoa.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The experiencer of texture.
The discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
From dull to black.
Yeah.
You know, or from just contracted in some sense.
To, yes.
Available in some sense.
Yeah.
To a greater bandwidth.
Well, that seems like the human just before the leaping. You know, or just as anything. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a special.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, luminosity wears a cloak of self. Right? Luminosity sheds cloak of self. That's what. Do I know? I don't know. Right? You make up your own metaphor. It'll be just as good as anybody else's.
And you hear Schwarzenegger in your head, and I'll be back.
I'll be back. Yeah. Right, the voice of misery.
The whole, like, human thing, you know, transhuman.
Yeah.
Somehow, I'm going back to taking a little diversion today. Going into Facebook, and there's this cockatoo, a parrot, or something like that, that's out in the wild.
Uh-huh.
And we're out, I don't know, but he gets a cup, he finds this cup. He's yelling into this cup, rawr! And just to hear how it sounds,
yeah.
It's the most hilarious thing.
That's great.
And it's just like for
that's
the,
us.
It's just for the joy of it.
That's us. Yelling into a cup, just to hear how it sounds.
Yeah.
Or we could say, "Another beer, please." Yeah. I'll shut up if you can fill it up.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's like sound feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wow, look at this. It's like 2001, you know. Ding. Evolution.
Right. Apes and an obelisk. Yeah.
Cockatoos. You know,
cockatoos in a cup, apes and an obelisk, humans in a box of pizza. It's all the same.
Sounds like art. Essays.
Well, you kicked this around enough, eh?
Why are you in this location?
The floor next door is being repaired. So we were invited to meet here this evening.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Thank you.
All right, chums.
Right on.